Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Welcome, everyone, to episode number 140 of the Metal Geeks podcast.
140.
I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with
Brutal Dave
and George motherfucking Tripsis.
What's up, guys? How are y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. Been busy, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Been busy.
Been busy.
Got it. Playing those video games, been busy, huh?
Not as much as I would like, but yeah, we'll get to that.
Sure.
I've only had time to play games on my phone.
You've been secluded in the small town of barbarians.
What have you been playing on your phone?
I was doing the Disney Emoji Blitz quite a bit over the last couple weeks. I stopped for a while. I got back in. They were doing like a
Star Wars
thing, and I got Kylo Ren and Finn. I unlocked both of them out of it. I didn't finish the whole challenge, but I was able to get those two out of it.
That's why I sort of stopped, because it gets so frustrating, because I never have enough time to get what I want.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I still never got the Haunted Mansion characters in that game.
I still haven't got... That's why so I'm far. Still playing.
I know.
It's because one day I'm going to unlock... at first they just had the Hatbox Ghost, and that's like why I started playing the game.
Yeah, me too.
And now they've got like Madame Leota and the Bride as well.
Don't worry, you'll eventually be able to buy them.
No, we're not going to do that.
That's their new pricing model for their games, apparently.
I mean, maybe we could loot box it, but we're going to get there. We have some things to say about loot boxing and pay to play and all that kind of crap.
Okay.
So what, you been playing anything else on it? Have you played, what's that game? The South Park Phone Destroyer?
Yeah, I haven't been playing that.
I imagine my co-writer and also other show co-host.
That's why I knew it was out, because Justin talked about it, and it's a lot of fun. It's free.
Oh, you played it already?
I played maybe about an hour of it. It's very, very close to the console versions of the RPG games.
Oh, cool.
So,
I haven't played the new one of that either. I haven't played anything because my living room's a disarray still. So.
Yeah. I'm sure that makes it a little bit difficult, right?
Yeah, and plus it's been really busy at work. And I watched movies, so...
Yeah.
So there's that.
All right.
Because I'm cool.
You're cool.
I'm too
like
cool
that.
For games, is what it is.
I'm
cool enough to watch a game campaign, but not cool enough to play.
You do that, don't you?
I do. When I don't want to buy a game, or if I don't have the money to buy a game, I just watch somebody else play it.
I used to walk over to your desk at work, and I'm like, "What are you doing?" He's like, "Nothing. I'm watching this game."
Yeah.
What do you mean? There's just some guy just playing through it on YouTube, you know?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, okay. I mean, I've gone to those type of videos when, like, I'm stuck on something and trying to figure out how to get past it, but I've never sat there and watched
it. I just watch it for the story. I don't really watch it for the gameplay.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm boring like that. What do you want from me?
No, I'm not. I'm not faulting you for that. It's just weird.
Is it?
A little bit.
A lot of people do it, though.
Do they?
That's how that whole Twitch phenomenon started. Yeah.
Well, Twitch, yeah, but a lot of that's like multiplayer shit, though. They like watching multiplayer, cause like the esports.
I don't think that's what it all is. I think people just like watching people play games.
Yeah.
My kids.
We have this huge crowd of voyeurs that nobody wants to admit to that they're just into right? it.
My kids watch Minecraft videos on YouTube constantly, so they just. If they're not playing Minecraft, they want to watch other people play Minecraft.
That's why it's such a billion-dollar property now.
Yep.
It's crazy. And I've never once played it. I think I played it at... I watched your kids play it at your house one time.
Yeah.
Did not know what the hell was going on.
That's usually how it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just keep digging until...
You make
you find
stuff.
Something.
And you find stuff. Eventually, there's like creepers or zombies or whatever.
Apparently, there's a Lego game that's sort of very Minecraft-like called Lego Worlds, I think.
Okay.
And it's like you build like worlds and, you know, houses and whatever, you know, sort of like Minecraft.
It's kind
of
like
Minecraft
hey,
is
do the
basically
work for
Legos
us.
Anyway. I mean,
right. Minecraft is based off what Legos are, now there's a Lego game based off of what Minecraft stole from Legos. It's like this big circle, you know what I mean?
Full circle, man.
Coming back full circle.
That's right. It's all about who made more money, though, in the end, I guess.
Probably Minecraft right now. Because Lego Dimensions is stopped production.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were going to give up on that so quickly.
Well, they didn't... I mean, they didn't drop it like they did, like Disney Infinity dropped it, but they sort of said, this is pretty much the last of what we're making, and we're going to get it out there, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, but they're not going to keep making anymore, and they're not going to keep supporting it after a while.
No.
It's a dying console at this point.
It's very much dead.
Yeah.
You can get all the stuff on clearance at Best Buy now. It's like all like...
If you ever wanted it,
you can still play it, but, you know what game... that I was actually enjoying, that just got the plug pulled on it like yesterday.
Star Wars Battlefront?
Nope. Don't jump the gun yet. Marvel Heroes.
I don't even know what that is.
There was a PC game.
Diablo style.
Yeah, game, and then right? they just put out on PS4 and Xbox One like not even 6 months ago, the console versions. I loved it. It was great, but
apparently you were the only one.
There was a lot of people. Actually, I watched a guy on YouTube play that game a lot, but I can't tell you anything. But
it comes full circle, everybody. Yeah. It just keeps coming back full circle.
But it was a great game. They're not dropping it. They're still going to support it, or it's still out there, but they're not going to support it. So there's no new content, no any of that kind of stuff. So,
but they'll like keep servers running in perpetuity.
I don't know for how long though.
Okay,
I don't know. Because it is an online, living world. So
it's called a dying world now.
Apparently, it is an online dying world. Surprising, because there's a lot of other games that are out there that are still going like that.
Plot for the new Wreck-It Ralph movie is going to be about a digital dying world, and he has to like jump worlds and stuff.
It sort of is, yeah. Yeah.
All right, then. Cool.
So, dead franchises. So, what have you seen any movies? What have you been watching?
So, I'm doing my Thanksgiving ritual where I watch Tolkien-type movies for Thanksgiving. Right now,
I've heard Tolkien Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's called Tolkien-zing.
Tolkien-zing.
Yeah. I usually watch Lord of the Rings, and now that I've recently bought the extended cut of The Hobbit, I'm rewatching those.
I'm sorry.
They're actually surprisingly good, like way better than theatrical.
Well, yeah, I agree on that.
Like a million times better.
Because the theatrical cuts were atrocious.
Yes, I 100% agree with you.
Abominable. Like I'm still angry about them.
The extended cut of the Unexpected Journey, the first one, makes so much more sense now.
That one I've seen.
Oh, you've seen the extended cut?
I have actually the extended cut of that one. And yes, it was helpful. It helped a lot. I didn't...
Like, there's 40 minutes of that movie that wasn't originally in there.
Yeah. Let's see, I've seen...
It's so surprising because it was a short book to begin with.
How did they spread it out to three movies?
By adding lore from other Tolkien stuff. I guess so.
And more walking.
It should have been two movies, which is what they originally were planning on, was two movies. That's what it should have been.
And then New Line said, we need that money.
Yeah.
Even the video game, when they came out, the Hobbit Lego game, was the two movies. And then they're like, oh, they're making a third movie. All right, what we're going to do is we're going to have to put this out as a DLC for free. For everybody that bought it.
That's funny.
And they never did.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, brief, I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot, but since we're on the subject.
Are you going to talk about the Amazon show?
We don't need a Lord of the Rings TV show.
I don't think we need a Lord of the Rings reboot, but it would be cool to have a Middle Earth TV show.
I'm exceedingly worried about it.
Did you hear how much it's going to cost them?
No.
There's rumors it's going to cost them like $1 billion.
$1 billion.
I was like,
so yeah. I mean, they're banking on like this being the next big Game of Thrones thing.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
So if you aren't aware, Amazon is going to be producing a show set in the Middle Earth world.
But so it's not a full-on reboot of Lord of the Rings.
It is. It's going to take, right? No, it's before.
Oh, it's before. I thought it was like after.
See, I think that's before. A lot more interesting. Like the creation of the Nine Rings would be really cool.
I don't think it's going to even because that's actually like way before. We don't really know when it's going to take place yet. Like it might take place between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, which the movies don't really portray this that well. But there's like an 80-year gap between the events of The Hobbit and the events of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So it may take place during that gap. It may take place prior to The Hobbit, but it's going to take place before Lord of the Rings at least. But that's about all that they've said.
I'll be down to watch it. I mean, as long as it's entertaining and
if they can get the lore right, I'll be okay with it. I might be okay with it.
I'm down for it.
I might be okay with it.
I'm down for it too. I don't see the big guff about it. I thought it was going to be like a full on reboot of the.
That's what I thought at first too. And that I'm like big. Yeah, no
like
on.
Why? Like we already had it.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, and it was pretty good.
Yeah. No, that's if it was a reboot of just the books, that would be a hard no for me. Like right out of the gate, the way they're handling it, I can possibly give it a chance. But I'm. This is like my fandom. This is like my
this
thing.
Is my
and
shit.
I'm like, y'all better, if you're going to do it, respect the ample amounts of source material.
I thought Disney
that are
fan
there.
Parks were your, was your
fan. It is.
Okay.
People can have more than one fandom.
Is it right. true? Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, it's true. You can. Oh, yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, so we should do
an episode just on our top five fandoms.
Okay. All right.
Next episode.
So. Anyway, extremely skeptical of the upcoming Lord of the Rings show. Yeah. Go ahead. You were having your Tolkien Thanksgiving
thing. So,
this is a thing I need to do. I haven't watched the Lord of the Rings movies in way, way too long.
Oh, I do it every year.
I want to do it every year. It's quite a time commitment.
I watch a movie a day.
Yeah.
I start
That's still a
early.
Time commitment.
Yes, have your girlfriend seen them all before?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She hasn't seen the extended cuts of The Hobbit, neither have I, so we're both kind of going through this adventure together and
like the real hobbits.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's much better than I thought it would be because I didn't hate them. I just didn't enjoy them very much. The theatrical cuts of The Hobbit.
The first one wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad, but it wasn't very good.
It wasn't great either.
And then
they messed up a lot of stuff.
And it just exceedingly got worse. And Battle of the Five Armies was really bad because there's like shit that didn't make sense.
No, it didn't. They stretched stuff out that didn't need to be stretched out because they were trying to fill a third movie that was unnecessary. There's a whole movie's worth of material that's unnecessary. but that whole movie that we don't need is sprinkled across three movies.
Right.
Weaving
in and out of the plot.
Yeah.
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 It doesn't bother me as much.
Whole Azog character doesn't exist in that capacity in the Lord of the Rings world.
Really?
Yeah.
They need an antagonist, though.
Right, and that's why
he
was added in.
The antagonist can't be just the dragon, because the dragon only shows up once.
Right.
And I understand that that's why they did it. But because they added Azog in, they then have to do all kinds of other stuff that
right.
don't make sense.
Like the Battle of the Minds of...
Moria.
Moria, thank you. I was going to say Minith, but that wasn't right. Moria, they added that, and then like...
Well, I mean, they did... run through like there's a whole scene where they're trying to escape the goblins under the Misty Mountains.
Right.
There was a giant, disgusting goblin king. Like that's all in there.
I remember that from the book.
Yeah.
Because I had the illustrated version as a kid.
But yeah, like the weird like chase sequences and stuff. And
well,
like
it's a movie, so
I had the illustrated
buff it out.
The animated movie when I was a kid.
Oh, that animated movie sucks. It's so bad. The songs are so bad.
Wasn't it like Leonard Nimoy or something?
Who knows?
No, he did the Ballad of Frodo Baggins song.
That's where I'm getting it from.
It's so cringeworthy. It's like so many things that I love in one place, and it's just the worst.
I actually enjoy the animated Lord of the Rings movie and The Return of the King. I think those are pretty good, but The Hobbit's bad. Just bad.
It was all Ralph Bakshi, wasn't it?
Ralph Bakshi did the first... half of the Lord of the Rings.
And he got fired halfway through.
Yeah. And
oh, really?
It covers the whole first book and then the second book up to the Battle of Helm's Deep. That's where the movie ends. And it is pretty good. I like that too. Mm-hmm. I never saw, so Rankin Bass did The Hobbit, and Rankin Bass also did The Return of the King. And I've not seen either of those. I've seen parts of the Rankin Bass Hobbit, but I've never seen the whole thing.
Yeah, try watching it from beginning to end. It's like pulling teeth. It's bad.
Is it a Rankin Bass? Weren't they they did like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Same guys. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really fit there, does it?
Yeah.
So anyway, been watching that. Probably going to try to watch Lord of the Rings for Thanksgiving, but who knows? That Thanksgiving's next week. I might just call it a day at the end of Hobbit.
I'll probably be watching MST3K on all day on Thursday.
And so there you go.
They always do their Turkey Day marathon. So,
do you have the extended versions of Lord of the Rings?
Yeah.
Okay.
On DVD, not on Blu-ray.
Oh, we can't have that. DVD?
I don't know, because it hides the mistakes more.
I guess that's true.
It hides the CGI. Man, the CGI in The Hobbit looks so bad in Blu-ray.
There's definitely parts where...
It looks like unfinished CGI at parts.
Really?
And I was like, oh, man, that looks bad. But the story is good enough to keep me, you know, interested.
So did you guys see any other movies recently?
Yeah, I saw a couple. I saw Thor, Ragnarok.
I saw that, too. Did you see that, Dave?
No, I haven't had a chance yet.
So we're not going to...
Won't spoil it. There's not really much to spoil.
Yeah.
The whole movie's in the trailer.
Pretty close, yeah.
What else did I see? I saw Murder on the Orient Express.
How was that?
I'm curious about that one. Was it good?
We're gonna circle back to Thor in a minute, but yeah. I want to hear.
I've never seen the original Murder on the Orient Express.
I didn't know anything about it going in. Okay. I just knew that it was a murder mystery done it by a lady who's done a fuck ton of murder mystery books.
Right,
Agatha Christie.
Yeah. So anyway, Kenneth Branagh is the lead guy.
He directed it too, right?
And directed it. He's Perrault.
Ross Perrault?
No, I can't pronounce it. Herc Perrault or Perrault.
Okay.
It's a French name. I can't fucking say it. Perrault, something like that.
All right.
Anyway, he's like the world's greatest detective by circumstance because he has OCD. He's like the original monk.
Okay.
And he came out around the same time as Sherlock Holmes, so you can kind of see the similarities in the two. I like the movie. I thought all the actors were great. I think the script is very well written. I think Kenneth Branagh did a great job acting.
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be directing is where it really falls flat.
I've heard two things about the cinematography. I heard of some really pretty shots and I heard of some like ugly shots.
Okay. So there's some cool shots in the movie, but you could tell it's like, oh, I saw this in a movie once. I'm going to try to recreate it. It's like he was tapping into other directors to do certain shots.
Wasn't Johnny Depp in this movie?
Yeah. Johnny Depp was great.
He doesn't play as his character from
Tusk. He's not like playing a Chinaman or something. No, like he's
not. He plays a gangster in this movie.
Okay. He's like, oh, I want to be in a murder mystery movie. And I want to play my character from Tusk.
That would have been awesome. with the dick nose and everything. Dick nose. I need to have this nose.
What's his name again? I can't think of his name now.
What's Le that? Point. Guy Le Point.
Guy Le Point. Yeah, there you go. The voice from the other room coming in for the save.
So anyway, I thought it was an okay movie. I thought it was good. I think the problem with the movie that it lacks tension and lacks detail of direction.
Okay.
There's no mystery in the mystery movie.
Is it a wait see on like Blu-ray or something when it comes out?
No, I think if you really want to see it in theaters, I think you should definitely check it out. It's a definitely entertaining movie. It's a great couples movie, I guess. Old people will probably love it.
So you're looking at me when you say that?
Yeah. what else? The whole entire time I was watching, all I could think about was like, man, Tarantino would have made a great version of this movie.
Right.
That's all I kept thinking about.
Didn't he sort of? Wasn't it The Hateful Eight sort of like that?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin it too much.
Okay.
It does have you guessing a couple of parts in the movie because I thought I knew who the killer was, but then like when they give you the facts, it's kind of like, well, that doesn't make sense anymore. And then when they give you all the facts, nothing makes sense until you get to the conclusion.
So was there three different endings like Clue?
No. Okay. Although that would have been awesome.
That would have made it better, I think.
But anyway, it's okay movie. Like if I had to rate it like out of 10, I'd probably give it like a 6.
All right. So you know a movie I did see last night? I went to a sneak preview of The Disaster Artist.
Oh, hi, Mark. Justin.
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Okay, so I've seen...
Everyone's saying this is What's-His-Face best performance ever.
Dude, he needs to get a fucking Oscar for this movie because he embodies this character. Both of the brothers...
Franco.
Dave Franco. He was great in it, too.
Plays the friend who's like what the book's based on, right? Guy who wrote the book.
Yeah, the guy who wrote the book. Yeah.
They're having like a thing at Alamo Drafthouse where he's going to be there. Dave Franco's going to be there. James Franco's going to be there. And
in Houston?
No, I don't know if it's in Houston. I don't think so.
That'd be cool.
And then maybe Wiseau might be there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a very...
God, could you imagine Wiseau going to the Oscars if this thing gets nominated?
Yes, I would.
It'd be super weird.
So, yeah, the guy is super weird. Dave Franco does a phenomenal job. The movie, which I don't know, I haven't seen The Room in its entirety, which
You need to. It's great.
There's a lot of fucking cameos in this movie, which are great. I don't want to ruin it.
It's kind of like a darling cult classic movie Hollywood. Because everyone in Hollywood hates this movie and loves it all at the same time because of how fucking stupid it is.
I mean, there's so many people that are, you know, famous comedians in this movie.
Yeah.
Just playing bit parts. It's great. It's really good. It comes out, I think, December 8th, they said. So
comes out soon. I know that
comes
much.
Out soon-ish, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely check it out. Catherine has not seen The Room, so I'm going to make her watch it.
I've not seen it either.
We should watch The Room.
Yes, we should. Do you have it?
I don't own it, no.
One movie you don't own.
I never had a reason to because all my other friends had it.
Okay.
Yeah. I saw it the first time in college.
I've seen bits and pieces through, like, when they show it on, like, April Fool's Day on, like, Adult Swim.
Yeah, that was the first time I was exposed to it, and I wanted to figure out more about it. And then me and my friends in college, we were like, well, we got to find this movie. And one of them bought it on Amazon, and we watched it, and there's just, like, 10 minutes of, like, softcore porn.
Yeah.
And you're like, what the fuck is going on?
it's in the making of the movie too. In this film, it's okay. So it basically starts off when the friend and Tommy meet in like acting class,
which is in the trailer.
Okay, and then it just goes on from there. They make a movie.
I'm excited to see this. I've been ever since I heard about it. I was hoping that it would be good because I think The Room is fascinating. Like the whole lore and the story behind it, and like the craziness of making of this movie is very interesting.
It's very funny. It is a phenomenally funny movie.
And
you'll have a good time.
Yeah.
Even if you don't know what The Room is about.
I was afraid James Franco was going to like fuck it up, but I hear really good things.
He embodies Tommy Wiseau. So
is Wiseau make
crazy.
A cameo?
No.
Oh, he doesn't? That's lame. They should have gave him a cameo.
Okay, so at the end of the movie, during the credits, They have a side-by-side recreation of certain scenes from The Room. Fucking great. You're like, wow, it's pretty phenomenal.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Let's talk
else?
About a movie we all saw.
What's that?
We glanced over, but let's get into Thor a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, he hasn't seen it.
Right. That's right. You haven't seen it, but... All right, so... I think... I have a feeling that you don't like it as much as I do so far.
I liked it. I thought it was great and entertaining. I just hated everything that wasn't on Sakaar. Is that the name of the planet?
Yeah.
I hated everything that wasn't on Sakaar. Taika Waititi is one of my favorite comedic directors out there. Because What We Do in the Shadows and Hunt for the Wilder People.
I haven't seen Hunt for the Wilder People yet, but I did see
What We Do in the Shadows.
And then
fucking
also,
love that movie. He's partly responsible for Flight of the Conchords popularity. And I've just been a fan of his for a while.
There was a What We Do in the Shadows joke in Thor Ragnarok.
Unless there's like a vampire thing.
Yeah.
Unless they're bundled close together.
That's right.
There was a couple of questionable things. I don't like what they did with Krog.
Okay.
I thought they made him too... Korg is Krog?
Korg.
Okay, Korg. I don't like what they did with him. I don't like the way they handled the whole Sakaar storyline. You had so much a colorful world and a great place to have a buddy adventure with Thor and Hulk. And we got 10 minutes of that. If
we
that,
got more
maybe.
Than that.
No, we didn't.
I got to say that Jeff Goldblum was
the most Jeff Goldblum he's ever been.
Yes. So basically, when he came in, was his name Waikiki? What's his first name?
Taika.
Yeah. Basically, this is how he directed Jeff Goldblum. He's like, "All right, Jeff, be yourself. Do whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Why not? Camera. He's weird enough to do that.
Yes.
He embodies weirdness. So."
It's such a fun movie.
Except he didn't
do
the Jurassic Park laugh.
Right.
Watched a video of him the other day of like him rating people's tattoos of him.
Yes, I saw that.
It's weird.
The fandom for Goldblum
is weird.
Yes.
My girlfriend has a fascination with him.
I have a friend, a mutual friend of all of ours, that is in love with the dude. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, I know who exactly who you're talking
about.
It's
just the fandom for him is so odd. Anyway, I thought this movie was good. I thought it was just as good as Guardians 2, if not a little bit better. I just didn't like anything that happened on Earth or Asgard. I thought it was kind of boring. Once we got to Sakaar, we should have been there for the entirety of the movie except for the last 10 minutes, which we didn't get.
Well, I think they had to move the storyline and sort of move it back into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, that's the only reason why we went back to Asgard over and over again, because they wanted to keep pushing their fucking big dick of like movie cinematic universe shit.
Well, they sort of have to. But
they didn't do it in Ant-Man. You got a whole fucking heist movie in Ant-Man.
This was the best sword movie.
Because they took all the boring shit out of Thor and made it entertaining.
They took the Kenneth Branagh out of
Thor. Yeah, they took the Kenneth Branagh out of Thor. They made it into a buddy comedy, which it should always be. It should be a dramatic problem of family with heavy comedic overtones.
Okay, so my favorite scene is the scene on Asgard in the beginning where they are recreating.
Oh, God, that was so funny.
They're recreating the plot of Thor 2,
right,
the Dark World, with these like Shakespearean-type actors. And we're not going to spoil it, but anybody that's listening, you know who plays these characters, and it's great.
Yeah, it's so
surprising.
The plot's weak. I hate the plot of the movie, and I don't like I don't like the villain. I thought she was boring and one-sided.
Hella?
Yeah.
I thought she was hella good. No, she wasn't.
You just wanted that.
Yeah, I did.
Joke. Anyway.
I can sort of agree with... She was sort of a letdown as a villain.
Yeah, she was boring. She was one... The only thing that was cool about her is that we got to see Carl Urban with machine guns. Yeah. That was the only cool part about that.
And he never said, "I am the law." I was disappointed.
I'm the law.
He didn't actually talk that much in the movie at all.
That was great. He didn't have to. What was the name of his machine guns again? No. He got them from Texas.
I don't remember now.
God damn it. It was like Armed and Dangerous or something like that. It was like Danger and Us or something stupid like that.
I don't remember. True story.
I don't remember, but it was good. It was funny, and it made me chuckle. I was a bit worried for the movie because they ran that gag of Thor spinning on the chain.
Yeah.
They did it one too many times. I thought they should have just done it the two times and left it at that, but they kept on doing it. And I was like, oh no, this movie's going to be that kind of comedy.
So where does it land in your Marvel Cinematic Universe list?
Like I said, it's right. I think it's a little above Guardians 2.
Okay, I can definitely agree on that.
Like, I liked Guardians 2, but I didn't love it. And that's kind of how I feel about this one. I liked it a lot, but I didn't love it. It was very entertaining. It's fun. That's where it ends. That's how I'm starting to feel about a lot of these superhero movies.
You're starting to get fatigue?
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's just, they're
we all talked about it before. When are we going to get it? It's happening.
Like, they're all kind of the same plot. There's no stakes anymore. Nothing really matters. Nobody dies. And if they do, they find a way to come back.
Well, hopefully that's going to change. They say it was Infinity War.
I guess.
Don't know.
They had their opportunity with...
In Civil War.
They should have
killed some people in Civil War.
And
absolutely.
They just let us down. They gave us a real good hand job and stopped right at the end. That's what they did.
I guess moving on. Have you seen The Gifted yet?
Oh, the X-Men show?
The X-Men show.
I have no interest.
I watched the first episode and I was strangely intrigued by the show. I liked it more than I thought I was going to like it.
That's also part of the things that I just refuse to watch. Plus, I don't like Bryan Singer, so I refuse to support anything he
does. Is he involved with it?
He's the executive producer of the show and the main showrunner.
Oh, didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he did the first two episodes and the finale.
Okay.
Whenever it comes out.
Okay. It's not bad.
I'm just saying the 14-year-old boys on the show need to watch out.
Is he one of them, too?
Yeah. He's one of those people that's being outed for sexual harassment.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Singer is?
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that.
I knew Ratner was.
Yeah, Ratner, yeah.
Yeah, Bryan Singer, threw money at this problem where he, molested a 14-year-old boy. And he just threw money at him and said, "Hey, shut up, kid. I did X-Men, don't you know?"
Okay.
But anyway, I didn't like Bryan Singer before that anyway. It just gave me more of a reason not to watch it.
No, if you're an X-Men fan, it's not as bad as you think it would be. It's interesting. I've only watched the first episode.
It looks very formulaic, though, doesn't it? I mean,
I've only watched the first episode.
I watched the extended preview.
I usually give shows like three episodes to see if I really.
But you also like Gotham, so that's
I do.
That's also the measuring of good here.
Well, yeah. Once I'm into something, I don't give it up, and I should, but I usually don't.
Got it.
Yeah, okay. I stay there to the end.
You're a loyal fan.
I'm a loyalist and
with the burning building and all.
Yes, I will stay till I'll be the last one on the ship. I'll just stay until it's gone.
All right. I have no interest in watching it. You, Dave? You care?
I don't care at all.
There you go.
Yeah.
Two people who don't care.
So.
Well, I care.
One thing I did read about recently. I'll save it for the end of the show. Never mind.
What's that?
I'll save it for okay. Tickling Our Geek.
We have a couple news topics here.
It took me a while because my schedule was busy, but we finally finished Stranger Things 2.
Yeah. Tonight,
so. I am only on the third episode.
Okay.
Yeah. So what'd you think of it?
Well, I wish that I hadn't taken such a large break in the middle of it.
Okay.
Because of my schedule right now, I'm working weekends because of the Ren Faire. So when it came out, I wasn't able to start watching it until we were into the next week.
Right.
So I was able to watch about half of the series.
Okay.
In one setting, and then got way fucking busy. I basically lived at the Ren Faire last week because they had their school days, and so I had to be out there in the middle of the week too. So there was this huge gap between our first binge session and then the second one, and I wish that we had watched it all together because I did feel like I lost momentum, and when I started watching it again, it took me a minute to be like, okay, wait, so what was this person doing? Oh, okay, oh, right. And it's not that complicated, so I was able to put it back together quickly, but I did feel like I lost some of the emotional momentum of the show. Right. I loved it.
Really?
I thought, yeah.
Did you like it more than season one?
It's completely different from season one.
Yeah, I'm getting a very different vibe on it.
It doesn't.
Yes and no.
Early on, they're still pushing a lot of nostalgia buttons.
Yeah.
That made in the charming way that worked very well for the first series.
So that's what I'm getting with this one. It's becoming an annoying nostalgia button is what it becomes in this one.
Like the whole Ghostbusters and the trick-or-treating episode?
That didn't bother me as much, but there was other things that I was kind of like, ugh, all right.
So have you completed it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like they rely on that less as it goes on. And because we already know so much about the characters and about the Upside Down, even though we don't really know a lot, we still know enough.
We know enough to make our own theories about it.
Well, and so we don't have the same sense of mystery and discovery with
it.
So it seems to me like they really invested more in the characters this time, and that was a good move.
Sure, I agree with that.
Yeah.
I definitely agree that there's no mystery in this season. It's all about character development. And I think that's what was missing was the looming threat. There was no looming threat in this until the last few episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of my favorite characters bites the dust.
Well, hey.
I'm not ruining it for you. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Let me see. What else did I liked it. I loved season one more. I think season one had a stronger story, stronger character development, and a lot more interesting plot holes or plot points
How long do you think it's going to take for this show to jump the shark?
Well, they're ending it after season four or season three. It's only like
It's got 3 and 4 coming out.
Okay, so they're stopping after season four.
Okay.
So it has a definite end at some point.
That's good. I'm glad to, I didn't know that. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. There was the characters in the beginning of episode one and season two. I don't really care for them. I know exactly where it's going. It's going to be the Professor Xavier Magneto storyline, but with women.
Yeah, you'll
get it when you get to episode 7.
We were making comparisons to Luke Goes to Dagobah. Like, that's what...
It's essentially what it is. They took all their favorite plots from all their favorite movies and tossed it into one show. Because at moments, it's like, oh, that's from fucking Ghostbusters. Oh, that's from X-Men. Oh, that's from Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, all right. So, not a lot of originality here. Just some cool stuff. Very cinematically done. Very well done. I love the chemistry between... what's the sheriff's name again?
Hopper
and
he's great.
Hellboy to you.
Hopper and Eleven.
You know what? I like really good. I like Hopper so much that like that is selling me on him as Hellboy. That I like Hopper so much.
Well,
like,
he's good in other movies and other shows.
I've never really seen him in anything else.
Because he looks completely different without a beard.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's usually a little bit more dumpy looking.
Okay. He's rocking that dad bod.
Yeah, pretty much. I really liked Steven, right? The one with the baseball bat?
Yeah.
Steve
Harrington.
He is my favorite.
He really shows up in this season.
I was
and like comes through like,
shit.
All right,
this character that was kind of a shit character in season one turned out to be a badass.
Val was telling me, my wife was telling me that I think it was her. Somebody was telling me that Steve was actually supposed to die early in season one.
And they liked him
And they liked him enough that they wrote him more part.
Right.
And now he's like
the babysitter.
One of the main, like he's like a main now.
So now they need a spinoff show with him and Mike is what they need.
Yeah.
Where he's just being,
him and Mike or him and Dustin?
Dustin, sorry. Yeah, Dustin. Okay. Yeah, him and Dustin where they're like, he's being like a surrogate father to son Dustin.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome. I liked it a lot. Those two characters probably made the show for me.
Yeah, that was great.
Anyway, I'm sorry, Carrie. We're just spoiling shit for you.
No, I'm not paying attention to it, though.
Okay.
So let's go back to the Renfest real quick. We went a couple weeks ago.
I'm actually going back.
Are you going back?
Yeah. We're going to go the weekend after Thanksgiving. I'm going to try to go with my nephews and stuff.
Cool. It's fun. It's
we'll
always a good time.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I know you will.
We ran into you at
Are
your
you
shop.
Are you going to have your Krampus print there? That's like the
that's
Christmas
a really,
weekend.
Actually, it's a good point. I need to consider that.
Because I've been wanting to get that from you. If you're going to have it,
I don't even have a print file set up for you yet. I have it scanned because the original's been sent off to its owner.
Recreate it.
No, I have it scanned for printing purposes. I just need to get around to doing it.
Like cool. That would be a good seller for Christmas.
Yeah.
And I also really want to buy it from you. So
cool.
Make it happen.
So we ran into you at your shop. Who else ran into you at your shop? This is a cool little story.
So as far as I can tell from our conversation, he's probably listening. Pretty sure he said his name was Jeff. I think I remember that correctly. So, hi, Jeff.
Shout out, man.
Dude.
If we got your name wrong, we apologize.
Yeah, if I messed that up,
to his booth.
Right. Send us an email, msrcast@gmail.com. Let us know who you are and your name.
On Facebook.
We'll give you a better shout out.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure Jeff is right. If that's wrong, I'm going to blame that I've literally talked to hundreds of other people since I spoke to you, so I apologize if I mess that up. But
the guy who could be Jeff.
Yeah, so guy came by my booth last weekend, and he was seeking me out specifically because he's a listener of this show. And
that's awesome.
So he showed up and we talked for a little while
one listener.
Yeah,
he's the guy.
He's that guy. And yeah, we talked for a little while about the show and what he likes about it and what my experience is like being a part of it.
Did you ask him what he doesn't like about it?
No, I don't care.
This could have been the time to figure it out.
I need ego boost.
Oh,
I need
him to How can we make it better?
But yeah, and he bought artwork from me and had me sign it for him and all that. So thanks a lot, man. Really, who's
nice.
You
signed it with the tagline too.
I did. I signed it with the "Keep it metal, keep it geeky" tagline.
Word. So.
That's freaking awesome.
So, yeah, it was cool meeting you. Thanks for coming out and seeking me out at the Ren Fair.
And thank you for being a listener. And if you like Dave's stuff so much, be sure to come out to Comic Palooza. You can get my comic book. Or you already have. I just don't know you.
That's right.
But if you did, you're awesome. Thank you.
What's the name of your comic book again?
Speak
I'm sorry.
No Evil.
Okay. I will not.
Yeah. Good.
Good. Want to talk about the Switch? Got to play it tonight.
Oh, yeah. I played with your Switch tonight.
Yeah, you switched it on.
I'm just kidding.
Switch that shit on, man.
I did switch it on.
So what'd you think?
It's cool.
You're playing the Super Mario Odyssey game.
Yeah, the remote that you have makes it more enjoyable. I didn't know they had that kind of remote.
It's a separately, you have to buy that separately.
Right.
Is it like a more of a traditional style?
Pro controller, yeah.
It's like an Xbox One controller.
Yeah. Okay. It's very hefty. It's a great controller, actually.
Hefty. That's what hefty. She said. It's hefty in the hands.
So I you were playing Super Mario Odyssey. I beat the game.
You beat the game already?
Yeah.
Oh, is that why there's fucking nothing to do in the game?
No, there's a lot of stuff to do still.
I guess.
Once you beat the storyline, there's still, you go back to the levels and find all the moons, and there's actually two levels that didn't open up in the main storyline after you beat the game. So it's a lot of fun.
It's a good thing they didn't take the Battlefront approach, huh?
Oh, we're going to get there. You keep on jumping
George
the gun.
George is chomping at the bit.
I know. But, yeah, so I picked up Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2 on the Switch. That way I could, bring it.
Play on the go.
Play it on the go. Bring it to work. Play it during lunch.
Well, that was the whole appeal of this game system, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Which really works out well. It's awesome.
Yeah, so what is it saves everything and...
Yeah, I mean, you take your system out.
It's a tablet. The tablet.
It turns into a handheld at that point.
Yeah.
Hold the power button. It goes into the sleep mode. Put it in your container. Bring it to work. Press the power button. You're playing already. That's it. It's really awesome.
Cool.
There's no waiting to get back into the game. It's right away.
All
right. It's really cool.
I think that's an interesting move for Nintendo because, like, they've sort of struggled in the console market.
Sure.
But they have owned mobile gaming forever.
Handhelds have been their
and
shit.
He's like, you know what we can do? Just merge the
right.
two
it's a good idea.
They did, basically, and they're killing it, really.
Cool.
It's a great...
I probably still wouldn't buy it, because there's really not a lot of games on that system that I was like, oh, I gotta
there's
have it.
There's not really a lot of games yet.
Yeah.
It
probably will be in the next year or so. But, like, Super Mario Odyssey is the only thing that kind of interests me.
And don't get me wrong, it's not... It's powerful as like an Xbox One or like a PS4.
That's never been Nintendo's thing, though.
No.
Like, go all the way back to like the SNES Genesis Wars. What was Genesis? Like, all their advertising was, we have better processing power than the Super Nintendo.
And more
Nintendo
blood.
Was like, we don't care. We have better games. So,
basically
fuck all
it.
Y'all.
Yeah.
So. Now it's the other way around. They don't have better games.
Who?
Nintendo. Which one? They don't have better games.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
The first party stuff is
Battlefront
pretty,
is pretty good.
All right. I wanted to talk about a couple concerts that I went to, but we'll do that during George Hates Metal segment.
Oh,
that
all
makes
right.
sense.
Sure.
There's no more beating around the bush. Let's go into our topic.
Yeah, we're talking
of the show.
About Bush now. All right.
Yeah.
It's that podcast.
Yeah. Battlefront.
Beating around the bush podcast.
All right. Hold on, guys. This is time we get to talk about...
Carrie, I'm going to have to stop you. That's going to cost you some money if you want to continue.
Okay. Real money or in-game currency?
Both. It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sure, accept both. It depends how far along you want to keep recording. Then you could pay me some currency.
Let me just hand you my wallet now, my credit card.
Please.
All right. Can I continue now?
Yes. Now you can. Thank you.
Can I unlock the end of the show now?
Maybe. We haven't gotten that far yet.
Okay.
It just depends on how much enjoyment do we want to give you out of this.
Exactly right. You have nostalgia for Star Wars, right?
Oh, I love it.
I love Star Wars.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't love Star Wars?
You know who loves Star Wars?
All EA. Your money.
EA loves Star Wars.
Yeah. Did you see that EA is releasing a special edition controller?
Really?
Yeah, it's got the card reader built right into it.
I was about to say.
I knew it was coming.
And there's a second edition that's even more expensive. It's like the Pro Controller has a chip reader in it.
Yeah.
I mean, at this point, just give them your routing number to your checking account.
Right.
Please just take whatever you need to play.
Kidneys, blood, what do you want?
Just all tapping right. out the plasma here.
Of course, we're talking about Battlefront 2, Star Wars Battlefront 2. It's been in the news recently this week.
No.
Yeah, oh yeah.
People are talking about it?
The distinction of having the lowest rated comment on Reddit.
No, the most
ever.
Downvoted.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The most downvoted comment on Reddit ever.
Ever.
Well done, EA. Well done.
Well, also give a big applaud to the community of Reddit, huh? All right. Good job, everybody.
Hey, you know what? Reddit, I have seen over the years, can band together to use its powers for good.
Like net neutrality. We did that too with Reddit.
Right? All right, so let's get into the nitty-gritty here. I played the game. I have the EA Access, so I got to play, you get like 10 hours of the
game. You hated the first one, and you also don't like shooters.
Games. I like shooters.
Yeah, you suck at them.
I don't say I don't suck at them. I just like them. I'm not that bad.
I'm better than you, and I'm pretty bad.
Okay.
Anyway,
this is a topic for another episode.
Continue.
And so I haven't played any of the multiplayer in the arcade, so if I just played the single player.
The story campaign.
And it's okay.
I watched the story campaign from beginning to end, so I know how it ends.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to pay for.
I heard it ends pretty shittily.
What? No, that's actually pretty good. I like the story campaign a lot. Like, that would have made a great story instead of Rogue One. That would have made an amazing movie.
Okay. Interesting.
I would have preferred that instead of Rogue One, but we got Rogue One instead. And then we're also getting the shitty Han Solo movie that's probably
My favorite part of the single player and the storyline, it's they're on the moon of Endor, and all of a sudden the Death Star blows up. They're like, oh, shit.
No, the best part about that is like, yeah, we're going to fucking give it to those rebels. And then there's a doo-doo, and they all look up slowly, and you just see the battle thing fucking blew up, and they're like, oh, what do we do now?
I mean, okay, before we talk bad about what the game does, let's talk about some of the good things about the game.
It's really good things in the game.
It's a beautiful looking game. They've done a great
job. Just as good as the first one.
Yeah. If you are a Star Wars fan, you're going to get everything. You're going to get everything you want out of this game.
Most definitely.
So just like talking about that, and then like the next level, you actually go into space and you're flying and shooting like X-Wings down, and the debris of the fucking Death Star is all around you.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know. How far of the story are you
that, in? I just beat that level. And that was it.
So you're like the first three levels?
Something like that.
Okay.
I heard a rumor today that on the trial version, which I'm playing, you only play the first three levels. So.
Okay. So in the campaign, you get a chance to play every hero, with the exception of Darth Vader and the Emperor. Because you played them in the last game.
You have to unlock them.
You have to play for 5 hours and 10 years.
You have to play the single player 15 times.
And you get to fly the Millennium Falcon. I mean, it's a cool game.
Okay.
Hey, like, the story campaign is good. I just wish it was longer. I wish them and the Uncharted people would have, like, fucked and had a baby.
I've been wanting that. That's what that Boba Fett game was supposed to be.
Right.
The one 13 that got canceled.
Ant-Sassin.
Yeah.
Ass-Assins.
So, okay. So how long would you estimate the single player game is?
If I played it, it'd probably take me like 3 days to play it. And wait, I'm a slow player, so.
So you're maybe like 6-7 hours or maybe
there's
more?
12 chapters.
Okay.
And they're all pretty short.
Yeah, they were.
So
typical to like a Call of Duty single player.
Yeah, like a Call of Duty game or Titanfall 2 when that came out. Yeah. That gameplay was pretty short. It's like that.
Okay.
They made great movies, as was what they are.
Interactive movies.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get to the bad stuff now.
Which supposedly before we fucking before we shit all over the place and give them shit, because, you know, everyone's giving them shit. They did seem to put a Band-Aid on the situation.
That, yeah, it's a fucking Band-Aid is what it is. That's bullshit.
They, instead of it being, what was it originally? Like,
it's a Band-Aid over a corroded artery.
It was so like 57 hours of gameplay to unlock people or something like that.
So the thing that really set this shitstorm off was somebody figured out that after like paying $80 for the game pre-ordered,
right,
they were going to have to pay more to unlock Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader,
right, or as playable characters. Play up to 7,000 hours or something like that.
But if,
because the longer you play, the more you get
and
rewarded.
EA responded to the thread basically saying what you're saying, that, oh, well, we wanted to give players a sense of accomplishment, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah. And they got down.
That's
such bullshit.
That's such bullshit.
We want your fucking money, is what they
we
meant
want
to
you
say.
To give us money for
yeah,
those
they wanted,
damn
they just wanted, like,
crates.
You can either take the long way around, but for an extra $100, you take the shortcut.
And that's where, like, I sit on the whole thing. This whole, like, they put a Band-Aid on it, I don't fucking care. I wasn't going to get this game anyway, because I'm not going to be in an abusive relationship with Electronic Arts.
I 100% agree.
I'm not going
to
be in an abusive relationship with them, because that's what it feels like at this point. It feels like EA is using Star Wars in a unhealthy relationship with the public, where they're like, we're going to beat you over the head and call you horrible names and put carrots out in front of you for you to follow, and then take them away and tell you that you're fucking stupid, get back in the kitchen. But then later they'll come back and go, I didn't mean it, I love you, here's playable characters for you. And so that we'll go, oh man, that campaign does look cool, I think I want to do that.
Because you know they're
going to
unlock more shit.
Fuck them.
When the new Star Wars
fuck them. I'm done
out.
With it. Like, when I get what I feel like I should have gotten for my money
time?
For the first Battlefront
God,
game,
this should have been
then I'll
one.
Consider getting Battlefront 2. But until then, I'm not buying it. Battlefront was a partial game. It was awesome. What was there of
it? Was
it?
A multiplayer game.
Well, and that's fine. I like the campaign in general. I like campaigns. I prefer that to multiplayer.
Yep.
But what was there of the first Battlefront game was fucking great.
It's 3 levels and 2 training levels.
Right.
And if you want more, you gotta pay.
Yeah.
We got the season pass, yo.
And the season pass was as much as the fucking game was.
It was more.
Yeah, it was more.
It's fucking dumb.
It was
so,
$80 more to a $60 game.
Yeah, I'm not going to reward EA for their shitty behavior. Even if I admittedly am curious by the single player campaign,
just watch it on YouTube.
I'm not going to do it for me.
Just watch it on YouTube for free. Is what
that's
I did.
Probably what I'm going to end
you
up.
You can play
doing.
It right now on the EA Access. I'll let
Han
you.
Han Solo has a beard.
Pop it up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's how cool.
Wait, Han Solo's dead.
Not in this game.
What?
What?
No, they gotta take my money.
You play Princess Leia at one point.
Yeah.
You play as Lando. You play this alien with a bulbous head. I don't remember his name. Starts
alien
with an S.
With a bulbous head?
Yeah, he's blue. He has, like, goat eyes. I don't remember his name.
Okay. I don't know who you're talking about.
Shahish or something like that. I'm just making shit up at this point.
I think so.
I don't know.
Akbar?
No, you don't play Admiral Akbar.
Damn.
At least not in the campaign. I don't know. The campaign's really good. I enjoyed what I watched.
Okay.
Could see me having fun playing the campaign, but that's all I really want. I don't really want to play multiplayer. I'm tired of getting beat by 12-year-olds.
Yeah, that's pretty much going to happen.
Yeah, like 12-year-olds
well,
just like killing
version,
me over and over
well,
again.
Well, arcade is sort of like that, but it's like couch co-op type gameplay, which is what Battlefront was back in the day.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, Val and I played a hell of a lot of Battlefront.
Yeah, me too.
The old Battlefront, too.
Yes.
I played the shit out of that
PlayStation
one.
2.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. So anyway, like you bought Battlefront 1 when it was like it was all inclusive in one
package. Yeah, like the collector.
And you bought it for like what, $20?
It was probably less than 20. But it was like Black Friday last year.
Yeah,
it was like 18.
So you probably
bucks.
Got your money's worth.
I definitely did. Yeah.
Yeah. So I will wait until it gets dirt cheap when no one wants it anymore, which may be sooner than later because apparently nobody is buying this game.
Good.
And all the ratings good. Are like kicking the dicks bad.
They're gonna.
I hope EA loses their ass on this game.
I
don't expect that they will, but I hope that
they do. And then I don't, because we don't have another Star Wars game coming out. The only one that we did have coming out got shit canned.
Well, there's still another one coming out from another developer. You know what?
I hope they lose their ass so that the contract goes to somebody fucking else.
Well, it's Disney's partly to blame for this.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
There was like, hey, you know what sells games? Microtransactions. Just look at Disney Emoji. We make a fuck ton off of that.
Okay, I think, okay.
I've never, ever paid money
Me either.
For a microtransaction.
Okay, I know people who have.
I have never done it.
I won't.
Sure.
Yes, like, I'm totally sure. I've never bought a microtransaction.
You look like you might have spent at least $5.
Nope, never have. If it's not worth opening in the game by playing the game, I'm not going to do it.
But the game's free, so...
Exactly. Exactly. That's my point. One of the podcasts I listen to is the CAGcast from cheapassgamer.com.
Uh-huh.
And I was listening to it today on the way home from work, and they're definitely talking about all the microtransactions and all
just
this
like
kind of stuff.
Just like everybody else, yeah.
Yeah, it's so crazy. So
and the game comes out in a couple of weeks, right?
It came out Tuesday for the deluxe version as of our recording, and comes out Friday for everybody else.
Mm.
But it's been available on the early access since like last week.
Mm.
But I mean, this is the way game companies are going. There's so much money they have to put into these games now. They're trying to stretch every little penny they can get out of you. So like Overwatch does it, all Injustice does it, but I don't think Injustice you have to pay money, which reminds me, I need to buy a Hellboy came out for Injustice 2.
Ninja Turtles is going to be in it too.
I saw that.
And I was like, oh, God, you guys are trying to get me to buy this.
The Ninja Turtles was a cool surprise.
I was you're trying so hard to get me to buy this game.
I seen it pretty cheap on Black Friday, so like $15.
Yeah, but then I got to buy all the DLC crap with
That's
it.
Correct.
Just to play the characters that I want. I don't want to play Batman.
Don't
or
buy
Superman.
Them all. Just buy the ones you want.
I just want Hellboy and
Ninja Turtles. That's the game I want right there. And
Hellboy meets Ninja Turtles. Give me that.
And
that's
throw
what
Freddy Krueger back in there. Come on.
Is he in this game?
Well, they had a Freddy Krueger in an old Mortal Kombat game. Like X, was it?
Yeah.
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 So that's a game that I want.
So, I don't know. They're trying real hard to get me into that game. I'm not gonna bite though. I'll just borrow it from you.
I haven't bought it yet.
When you do, I know you will. Is the question?
Maybe. It's gonna get to me. I'm like, I want to play it.
Yep. Or I'll just play it here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So microtransactions, worst thing to happen to the gaming industry
or
in a
the
long
best thing,
time.
Depending if you're a developer.
Well, not the developers. The publishers.
Yeah.
It's the publishers making the money off of this shit. And they're forcing developers to do it.
You know, this wouldn't be such a big problem if it didn't work.
This is...
Well, it does work.
This is...
That's the problem.
Well,
yeah, you're right.
You know what, though? It doesn't always. Because this is what killed the SimCity franchise.
Mm.
I'm a longtime SimCity fan.
The last one that came out, right?
Yeah, the last one that came out, the microtransactions is what killed that game. They had an unplayable game unless you engaged in the microtransactions.
Gotcha.
I was severely disappointed with everything I was seeing about it coming out. Thankfully, I didn't buy it because now there's other studios who are making quality SimCity-style games.
Yeah.
Really, really good ones that are trying to fill that gap. But yeah, and that's another EA company. EA killed Maxis. Fuck you, EA.
They did kill Maxis. That's right. So, they did. Totally. EA is the devil.
Yep.
They got voted like last year as the worst company to work for.
Really?
Yeah, in the past couple of years.
Oh,
it's
so
like,
the company I used to work for that was voted the worst company to work for has lost their title then.
Apparently you never worked for EA, sir.
I have not worked for EA.
I used to work for the company that used to be the worst company in the world.
So did I. I know who you're talking about.
Yep. It don't matter no more.
All right, so we can all agree microtransactions are bad.
So what is the verdict here, though? Are you going to buy the game?
I don't know. I'm going to play more for free on EA Access.
Hard no for me. Hard
no.
We both
know we're not going to buy it.
Yeah, I know you're
the only
I'm actually,
like,
I'm going,
wild card
I'm going to go a step further and tell people in my family to make sure to not get it for me for Christmas. Do not spend money on this game. There are better games that I would rather you get me instead of that.
So
that is true.
So if you got it for free, you wouldn't play it?
If I might return it.
Even play the campaign first?
No, if I was gifted it, I would probably return it unopened.
Oh, all right. Man, that's taking that.
That's what abusers do to you. You can't let them. You can't give them the power, George.
Take the power away.
That's right.
Got it.
All right, so
kick them in their EA dick.
That's right. You ready to do some metal listening?
Yeah. Do I have to pay to listen?
No. This one I'll give to you for free.
Awesome.
Everyone but after
next
that,
one, I
next
have to
one
pay.
You got to start paying.
Or I only get to listen for a minute, and then I have to pay for the rest.
That's right. Microtransactions is the same thing as balls. Welcome everyone to George's favorite segment, George Hates Metal. So this is going to be sort of like a
killing. This is an expensive George Hates Metal, by the way.
Yeah, it's going to be. This is sort of like killing two birds with one stone. So the band that I picked out for you this week is a band called The Skull. The Skull.
Like the Marvel characters?
Not the Skrull, the Skull.
Oh, the Skull.
Yeah. So the album is called For Those Which Are Asleep. I'm holding the vinyl in my hand right now.
It's signed.
Autographed.
Autographed. Yeah, we'll get to that.
Looks like you're a fan or something.
I think so. The song we heard was called Till the Sun Turns Black. It's one of the most more...
It's a parody of the Black Hole Sun, right?
No.
Oh.
It's one of the more poppier tunes on the album, but yeah. Still... you know, had their style of doom.
Sure.
So, for those who don't know who The Skull is, one of my favorite bands, one of my favorite vocalists of all time is a band called Trouble from Chicago. One of the all-time great...
Chicago.
One of the all-time great doom bands was a vocalist. His name is Eric Wagner. He formed this band after he left Trouble, and now Trouble has a new vocalist. They're going on.
Is Trouble giving him trouble?
I don't know about that. Didn't ask him about that. But so he actually has two bands right now. He has this band, The Skull. He also has a band called Blackfinger, which are...
What did he do with that Blackfinger?
I don't know. But I was super excited because The Skull played this free festival here in Houston on Saturday night.
Cool.
Called For the Community.
There's a lot of community members there?
I guess.
I was
there. I was in the community.
Yeah, okay.
The place called Last Concert Cafe, which is an outdoor venue, sort of like it's very hippie because there's like vendors
like
there.
Green or something?
No, it's a smaller area than that. It's a small club, but there's like a Mexican restaurant attached to it. Was the bar? It's very interesting. It's
very
sort of cool.
Clashing themes there.
And the
doom metal in the back. That's kind
of right.
Weird.
Exactly. I mean, it was only just metal playing that night. It was like all these different styles of bands. But it's funny, the right in front of stage, they don't have. There's not just regular, you know, concrete or whatever. It's sand. It's sand.
Softer.
Yo, it's great. My back did not hurt the whole time. It's great. I was super excited to see these guys. The only time I'd ever seen Trouble was like in 95, 94, when they opened up for Pantera. And that was a long time ago. I barely remember that. I've interviewed Eric Wagner back in the 90s when he did a project called Lid with the guy from Danny Kavanaugh from Anathema.
And they sold hats.
That was Lids. That's the store in the mall.
Sorry. Well, it sounds the same.
Okay. Lid is really, it's a really great band. It's all on Spotify. I think you would actually like Lid a lot, truthfully.
Okay.
So yeah,
next time we'll listen to it and find out.
Let's do that. But, so I got a picture with him when we first got there. It was sort of one of those, can't believe I'm meeting this dude. You know what I mean?
Like super weird, oh man, I remember you from the 90s.
Sort of. I did. I sort of geeked out a little bit on him. And I told him I was going to geek out on him too.
I follow you around.
But before the show, he felt very standoffish, but like there was truthfully only like 10 people there that even knew who the fuck they were. And we were like right up in the front of the stage and jamming out to him. And like after the show, he came and started talking to us. So I bought some merchandise from them and they signed everything. Very cool experience. And the bass player is actually one of the early bass players from Trouble as well. So
cool.
Got all that out. I just gotta say it was a fucking phenomenal evening.
With the exception of all the hipsters.
They didn't bother me.
Okay.
But yeah. It was a great time though. I was super excited to see them live. Even though they only played like 45-50 minutes, but they were able to play songs off this album, plus they played about 4 or 5 Trouble songs, which is super awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. So let's get into your George Hates Metal segment now.
All right. What was the first song called?
The song we heard for those with, or I'm sorry, Till the Sun Turns Black.
Yeah. It reminded me a lot of Queens of the Stone Age.
I can see that.
Which is not a bad thing. That it had that nice pop to it with the bass and the drums and all that stuff. It was okay. It was enjoyable and listenable. It didn't hurt my ears or anything like that.
Okay.
So there you go.
And this is your first time hearing this band too, right?
No.
Okay, you've heard it before.
I'm not the huge fan that you are, but no, I've heard it before.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the second song we listened to?
What was the second song we heard?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
It was the first track on whatever, or the first on their popular list.
I think The Touch of Reality is the first track. Then we heard a little bit of their remake of The Skull, which is like their namesake song from the Trouble album, The Skull.
Yeah.
From like 19, I want to say 84, maybe?
Yeah, that was really too slow for me.
Yeah, it's an older doomy song. Yeah.
It's putting me to sleep is what it was, rocking me like a baby.
So what do you think?
It was okay. Sorry.
Would you listen to it more?
If it was playing on the background, I wouldn't like, oh God, this is hurting my ears, but I wouldn't seek them out either, like or anything like that.
I thought you would like them more.
I mean, they're okay. They're not bad. There's nothing about them. It's like, oh yeah, that's really pulling me by the ear strings here.
All right.
But they're not bad. So there's that.
Hey.
We said before we got started that we were about 50-50 on this one.
So I'm about 50-50 on them. I'm like, they're okay. They're good. They're not great, but they're
good. Called it.
Yeah.
I love them. They're great.
Yeah. Well, that's questionable.
And they actually, that's not questionable because I'm telling you. They actually just posted like yesterday that they're in the studio recording right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Making some trouble in the studio, huh?
No, making some skull.
Skull
they can't
trouble.
Make trouble.
Trouble Skull.
But actually, they cover
their
own
song. They should mush the names together. Could have called Skull Trouble.
Okay. That's weird. Don't do that.
I just did it.
Okay.
What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Exactly.
I'm going to suggest it to a bunch of high school kids who need a name for their garage band.
There you go. There you go. Skull Trouble.
Skull Trouble. Oh, dude.
Dude, that's so metal.
Man, I remember trying to find their albums in stores back in the day, Trouble. It was a lot of trouble to find their albums.
You had to go in the back closet?
No, it was just...
He's like, here, kid, we got all these demo tapes we're about to throw away. You want them?
I do remember being in Chicago. A lot of my family is from Chicago. And going, I think my mom took me to like a record store and bought me the first couple of albums on cassette because you couldn't find them anywhere else. Yeah. One of the original
Look Metal at them Blade now, records. They're on vinyl.
That's right.
So, fancy schmancy. Who isn't on vinyl these days?
That is very true. So check out The Skull. The album that's out now is called For Those Which Are Asleep. You can listen to it on Spotify and all the other streaming places.
Google Music, iTunes.
Exactly.
Yep.
Go to their Bandcamp, buy them, support them, all that kind of stuff.
Or not.
Or on iTunes.
Because that's how I feel about it.
You feel about what?
Exactly.
So we let you listen to one song.
I listened to three songs.
Now you got to pay more.
I don't have any more money is the problem.
Fine.
I'm out.
Stop buying all those loot crates, man.
I got to get ahead in the game.
It's true. All right. Well, thanks for checking them out, and we will be right back.
So it's that time of the week where you get to pay.
Hold on. Balls.
Yep.
Okay.
That's right. Putting the balls on this one. I forgot what I was going to say.
He lost.
So 3, 2, 1. Here we go. It's that time of the week where we ask for money so we could tell you things that we like.
You don't ask for money.
I do now. Week. Now I do. I'm learning from EA. This
podcast is going to be based on microtransactions.
Microtransaction podcasting. It's a new thing. So, it's, you know, pay me some money and I'll tell you what's tickling my geek this week.
Here's a nickel.
All right. You go first, though.
No, you go first. This is your segment.
So, I recently found out that the Galaxy Quest reboot / sequel is still up.
Is it still happening?
Still happening.
I know they did a comic book series for a while.
So, Amazon has purchased the rights and they are going forward with a TV show. It's the Paul Schrader, Shriver?
Shear.
Paul Shear. Thank you. He is going to be the showrunner and creator and the writer of the show.
Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, so...
He's in The Disaster Artist, too.
Right. He also does another podcast called How Did This Get Made? Yeah. I listen to that quite often. It's pretty funny. So he's going to be the... At this moment, the showrunner and the creator of the show, what he's going to do, and this is all just rumor, but everyone feels pretty confident this is where it's going, that it's going to be like a reboot of Galaxy Quest, very similar to what Star Trek and J.J. Abrams did. So it's making fun of that whole Star Trek reboot with a whole new cast and a movie, and where they get pulled into a venture and then somehow need the help of the old cast. So it's going to be a new cast needing help from the old cast, and they like join forces together. And
they're going to get all the original cast, though? Well,
all except one.
All except, yeah, that's true. Aww. Too soon?
Alec Rickman, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I mean, was it Sigourney Weaver? And
That's what they're hoping for, or I guess that's what the rumor is.
Tim Allen would do, because he has nothing else to do right now.
He has that Last Man Standing show.
That show got canceled.
Did it?
I think so.
Oh. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah.
And go figure. Well, I guess he got nothing else going on until they find out he's like also another sexual harassment pervert out there.
That's right.
Much like everyone else in Hollywood right now.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's the rumor mill that I read recently, and I'm very excited. I'm a huge fan of Galaxy Quest, and hopefully it happens. And if it does happen to where they are making fun of reboots and where they have to pull in the original cast to help the new cast, I think it would be fucking hilarious.
So all your Star Trek talk has led me to what's tickling my geek.
Okay.
And that's the Orville.
Okay. Are you watching it?
I love that show.
First episode was a bit rocky. And they got better as it went along.
Which is so weird
for me. I've only seen 3 episodes.
I think we're on episode 5 or 6, maybe even further along. But which is so weird for me because I am not a Star Trek guy at all.
It's very serious, though. I thought it was going to be a lot funnier and a lot more spoofier.
See, I read some early reviews of it that were like, hey, they're playing this thing straight, guys.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, yeah.
And like that really...
It's like a Star Trek show. That's not Star Trek.
It is.
That really surprised me.
It's a Star Trek show with jokes sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. With a sense of humor.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten into it yet. I will admit I'm a little bit curious, but I'm also like just sick of Seth MacFarlane.
Oh yeah, if you don't like Seth MacFarlane, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow.
Definitely.
Like I'm really really glad that Seth MacFarlane got behind doing the Cosmos, like the updated Cosmos. I'm really glad he was behind that. But other than that, like
actually not very annoying in the show.
Okay.
He donated a lot of money to a local charity here after Hurricane Harvey.
Oh no shit.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Big time.
The girl who plays Mockingbird, she's kind of annoying.
What's her name? Yeah.
I don't know. The girl from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Right.
For a while.
Now she's the ex-wife.
Ex-wife in the show. Yeah. She's a little annoying. My favorite character is the Klingon wannabe character.
Borg?
Yeah, who plays everything really straight. Very much like Drax. He's like the Drax of the show.
Yeah, and they have his mate.
Yeah.
Chad Coleman that you was on The Walking Dead. They have it's funny. So this past episode, this past week, Ralph Garman starts on the show.
Oh, is he? Yeah. I heard him talking about it, but I don't know if he was actually ever going to be in it or not.
Yeah, they show him. It's
cool.
It's funny.
I think you would like it, Dave, if you like Star Trek.
I do like Star Trek.
I hear it's better than the new Star Trek.
I haven't seen
any of that either. I haven't heard...
what's it called? Not Enterprise, but...
Discovery.
Yeah, you got Discovery.
Isn't it all behind the CBS paywall thing?
I think so.
For a while, but once the whole show is up, it'll be on Netflix. Once it's done.
Oh, that's when I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think you would really like The Orville, because I mean, it is definitely you would think it's a Seth MacFarlane produced show and he stars in it.
Yeah.
You would think it'd be just like Family Guy.
It's not
all
a million
the place.
Dies in a West.
No.
Yeah.
It pays homage.
I know that he is a big Star Trek fan.
Oh yeah.
I know that. And that he kind of wanted to do a respectful homage to it.
I'm waiting for Patrick Stewart to be a guest star.
It's already been picked up
point.
For the second season too, so
that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Patrick Stewart needs to be a guest star at some point. Oh, yeah. He needs to play a villain, like a Borg type villain.
I'm sure they would get William Shatner easier.
He's done that.
I know, but okay. That would be funnier okay. In this show.
I'm sure they'll be able to get Shatner pretty quickly.
Hey, they should do a team up.
Oh
man, with Shatner and Stewart, that'd be great.
But yeah, that's what's tickling my geek. I think you would really enjoy it, man.
Okay.
If you're a bigger Star Trek nerd than I am, I like some of the movies, and that's about it. It's as far as I go.
Okay.
I like Khan, and The Search for Spock was okay.
I like 4.
The one where they go looking for the dolphins or the whales?
I remember watching that. That's the first one I really remember watching with my parents.
It's the first one I remember seeing any of as well. And watching it more recently, the story is kind of dumb, but the character moments in that movie are fucking great.
Scotty's great. He's the best thing about it.
And Arjun Lukensen wrote a song about him, about that movie, too. So I'm
of
okay.
Of course he did.
Of course. The Song of the Ocean on the Star One album.
So, Dave, what about you? What's,
I guess.
What got you excited and hot and bothered down there?
I guess, because I.
The end of TRF coming.
It's going to be weird because I'm almost to being used to being out there. And as soon as I'm okay, this is a thing, it's going to be over. I'll be
takes
done.
You that long to adapt is what it is.
It's kind of weird. But my head's been so stuck in the sand with TRF. A lot of stuff I haven't really been paying attention to. I guess the thing I'm excited about is I will be going to Disney World.
There you go. I was
going to
say you are
weeks.
Taking a vacation.
Yeah,
so.
That's right. You're leaving in 2 or 3 weeks, right?
I'm jelly, yeah. Man. Mm-hmm. I wish I was going to Disney.
Me too. We talked about going again this year, but I think we might go for a long weekend next year. We want to do the food and wine again, and we're trying to maybe time it around Mickey's Not So Scary, and then maybe go into the holiday.
I've thought about trying to do that before too.
That'd be awesome.
Start the trip on Halloween,
yeah.
And by the time you're ready to leave, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
So, we've been at Disney World during the Halloween stuff, but
yeah.
We haven't been there for Christmas, so we're going to go, and this is kind of, this is going to be a big chunk of our Christmas celebration.
Oh, I can
and,
imagine so,
like,
yeah.
Christmas gift for the kids is kind of, we're going to Disney World. So
it's a big gift.
Yeah, it is. So
I'm sure they'll get some kind of souvenir.
Oh, no, they will. Yeah, they absolutely will.
Especially, that will also count.
Especially because the papa is going.
There you
and
go.
Papa
see?
Is going to spoil kids because yeah. That's what he does. So,
yep. So that concludes this week's.
Well, hold on. I mean, he's still
tickle.
Talking about his trip. Are you,
I thought
planned?
That was the end of it. I'm sorry. Was there more?
What do you want to?
If you want to know more,
what do you want to do? I mean, what's your plan? What's your goal?
You know what? That's the really messed up thing is I'm usually. I've usually overplanned this thing by now. At this point, I'm kind of panicky that it's that soon because I'm totally unprepared.
Maybe this will be a different kind of trip for you.
It might be.
It might be more entertaining.
But
more off the cuff.
I haven't done any of my fast pass stuff yet. Any of that stuff.
Is there a fast pass you're looking forward to getting?
I'm probably not going to spend any of them on anything Avatar related, but
I was going to ask you, are you going to try to go to Pandora?
I'll at least walk through the land.
You're not going to try to ride the ride?
It depends on how the lines are.
The line's going to be long. You know it is.
If it's...
You have to ride, not the boat ride, but the other one, the Flight of Passage. Everything that I've ever heard says it's the best ride on property. I mean, even if you're not that big of an Avatar fan, which I'm not. Exactly. You still at least need to try to ride
it. I think you would appreciate it for the technology involved. Yeah.
I'm sure I would. I'm not going to... I won't invest a fast pass in it probably for the sake of the kiddos and stuff.
You probably wouldn't be able to get one now.
Probably not. You're probably right. But if I go by and the line is reasonable at some point, I might do an hour.
Or 3 hours.
I won't do 3 hours. No, I won't do that.
I was pushing it with an hour. I don't know if I would wait an hour. The ride's only 2 minutes long.
Well, an hour is like the minimum time on that. Everything I've ever heard is like, you know, hour and a half, two hours.
Last time I was there, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train was still like the hot shit. And consistently, like anytime we walked near it or anytime I checked the app or whatever, wait times on that one were 2 hours or more consistently, the time. And we happened to catch it at like a 45-minute time. We're like, okay, now we'll do that. If I run into a situation like that, okay. Yeah, if it's 45 minutes or an hour, I'll give it a try. But I don't care that much. It's curiosity about the technology and about the theming and all that stuff. But right. I don't care about the property at all. So we're staying at Art of Animation, which I've not stayed at one of those before. We stay
at Pop Century every time we go.
Okay.
Which we like it because it's a value resort, but you're still getting all the great Disney amenities and Art and Animation is, you know, it's set up just like,
right?
Because it was supposed to be
a mirror resort.
Exactly right. Until like I think 9/11 happened, and then like it just sat there for years and years empty. But yeah, I think you're going to have a good time there. I mean, where do you usually stay?
We usually stay at Port Orleans French Quarter. We've also stayed at. What's the other one? Caribbean Beach. Also stayed at Caribbean Beach.
That's a new place called Fuck.
Yeah, those are moderates. Place. I've not stayed at a value one before. Okay. But yeah, we really like French Quarter. We're going to do the value one this time. So
I think you'll have a good time there. I mean,
oh, I'm sure
you're getting like one of the suite rooms, right?
Yeah, we're doing a family suite.
Yeah.
So
which makes sense. All right. Well,
word.
Yep.
So. I didn't want to cut you off.
That's fine. If y'all have questions, I'll have more to say after I'm back.
I expect a full report.
Okay.
Right.
So that does it for the Geek Tickle thing.
Let's go on to our sponsor and wrap the show up.
Let's sponsor this hoe.
Do it. So who's looking for some new toys?
I mean, Christmas is right around the corner.
Christmas is right around the corner. Are you looking for some new Funkos?
Santa couldn't keep his fat ass out of Thanksgiving. That's what it is.
That's right. Or are you looking for some new Bandai statues or artifacts?
Are you asking me personally?
I'm just generally asking.
Okay, no.
Okay, well. But say
should
yes.
Should you be?
Had you know someone who's looking for that, then yes.
Right, if you have a friend or a family member that is looking for cool items like those... Go to tantrumcollectibles.com and it's like some code you can put in, isn't there?
I think so. It starts with a M.
M. M.
M. Mattel.
Not Mattel.
Not Mattel.
That's Barbie.
No. Or Ken, depending on who you like.
True.
Yeah. I think Mattel also did G.I. Joe for a while, right?
That's Hasbro.
Yeah.
Hasbro. There you go. I can't remember.
God, we got out of topic really quickly.
Yeah. Anyway, Metal Geeks. We'll get you 10% off?
10% off your order.
Yeah, I was going to say 20, but that would have been wrong. So, 10% off your order.
And for fans of the show, if you were following them on Twitter and Facebook, they just gave away an SNES Classic.
Ooh, on Twatcherton.
Yeah, Twatcherton. Whatever the hell you said.
It's from another podcast show I stole it from.
What is that?
Hello from the Magic Tavern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Usador the Blue. Calls Twitter Twatcherton. It's pretty awesome.
Very cool. Well, that brings us to the end of the show then.
Yeah. Go to, what is it called again?
TantrumCollectibles.com.
TantrumCollectibles.com. Metal Geeks. Dude. Get some 10% off. I was going to say Sideshow Collectibles, but I know that's not right.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Well, thanks for tuning in to
If Sideshow wants to sponsor the show, that's...
Yeah, I'll take that. We'll even take EA's money right now.
Well, I need
some of us will.
I need that microtransaction currency in my life.
That's right. So thanks for tuning in to episode number 140 of the Metal Geeks podcast. You can find us, of course, all over the internet at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. What should they do when they get to iTunes?
They should always subscribe and leave a comment and like and rate.
That's right.
And give us 5-star review. Share it with your friends. Tell us how much you love us. Tell us how much you love Dave's art.
Yep.
Especially that one fan. We're talking about you, Jake.
Jeff.
And
that dude's gonna hate you, man.
He probably is, or he probably already does. That's the banter of the show, man. Seeing behind the scenes here. As a fan, you get that privilege.
You can also find us on where else can they find us?
On Google Play and
Stitcher.
And Carrie's pointing at stuff that I can't read because it's too small. So, yeah. Other places where you get your podcast.
And we're also
Spotify someday, but Carrie hasn't submitted the submission form yet.
Spotify is very picky.
Yeah, I guess not. They don't like my ball jokes.
I guess not.
And
I guess they listen for the first minute of the show, and anytime they hear balls in the first 30 seconds, they're like, nope. you can also find us on esopodcast.com. And, of course, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Facey all space. At Metal Geeks.
Yeah, Twatterton, and especially.
Twatterton. Twat, you say? Go ahead.
Twat?
What about you, guys?
You can find me at Grey Bear Comics. That's G-R-A-Y. Speak No Evil. Issue 3 was supposed to come out this month, but with some delays of our artists and whatnot, it might be coming out next month. So, just in time for Christmas. That's coming out. Issues 1 and 2 are on Comixology, and if you want more updates, just go to Grey Bear Comics on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Also, I do a show with my co-creator called Mind Fudge Comedy. Be sure to check us out, and that's that.
You can find me at Red Viking Dave on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And for two more weekends, you can find me at booth F12 at the Texas Renaissance Festival.
Just like Jeff.
I'll see you there.
And you can find me, of course, here on this very podcast, as well as the sister show, MSR Cast, with Sean the Metal Pigeon. And we just recorded our 200th episode.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah, it'll
be coming out probably next week. He's got to edit it now.
Big 200.
Big 200. Been doing it for...
It's 200.
200.
Like a Hyundai, but not okay. The I part.
I'm not cool like you. I don't know all that stuff.
You need to listen to more rap is what it is.
Or maybe not. So thanks for tuning in again. Of course, I am Carrie the Metal Geek.
I'm George Tripsis.
Brutal Dave.
Thanks, and shit. Keep it
metal.
And keep always keep it geeky.
Keep it geeky, that's it.
That's what it is. Gobble, gobble, bitches.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.